for the salvation message. I was saved when I was in our church in the Philippines, April 27, 1997. But God used a lot. Thank God for the teachers here that prepared my heart for salvation. And you do not know that some kids who just so little, so naughty and noisy, you do not know that God may call them to be missionaries someday. And you do not know the hard work that they are doing, especially if you're teaching kids. And if you're called by God, God is calling you to be a Sunday school teacher. God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. And you know it, and you're not following it. You're missing out a lot. You know that joy when you see your small student surrendering their lives for God, serving God in the church, being one of the preachers or men in the church, growing up like that. The joy for serving God can never be bought with money. That kind of joy, I'm telling you. When you serve God, you do things for God. That's the best thing that you can have. And I thank God that He put me in a Christian school. I was in a Christian school from 1997, and I graduated 2008, March 2008. And I attended our Bible college in the same church, Christian Baptist Church, Dr. Ed Lorena, from 2008-2013. And I work in the church 1 year, and I asked my pastor, I'm praying for Malaysia. God is calling me to Malaysia. And I asked him if I could see what it's like to serve in Malaysia. And I tried for 3 months, but I had a hard time getting a visa. So I took, there was a missionary, if you know, missionary Javier Garcia. He invited me to work there in the ministry there and work in the school. They have a Christian school. And they paid for my TESOL. I got a certificate. I studied there. And I got a certificate that I might use someday. But after 2 years, I had a problem with my visa, and I was supposed to stay there until like 3 months more. But I got out earlier because of problem with my visa, and I came back to. I was supposed to come back to Philippines, but I had a vacation in Malaysia to visit my parents, and they said, "Why don't you try it again? Try again the social visit pass. Maybe they will give you 1 year." And praise God, thank God they gave me 1 year. So I asked Dr. Burke, you know him, he preached here last Sunday. I asked him to be a missionary intern. So presently I'm a missionary intern at Ipoh Baptist Church under Pastor Stephen Burke. And I'm praying that by next year, if my visa ends, I might be starting to officially be a missionary and deputize and raise funds to start a work in Malaysia. So maybe that will be like 2 or 3 years from now. So please pray for that. And I thank God. I thank God for the privilege and speaking to you this morning. And I hope it will be a blessing. All right. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Okay, let's read together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, let's read together. Read. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Right. Okay, until there. Okay, only up until there. Okay, verse 21 only. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Okay. Prove all things. Hold fast. Hold fast. So, this is not a Christmas message. I was supposed to prepare a Christmas message. Earlier was a Christmas lesson that I prepared. But God really spoke to me that to preach this. This about holding, the title of this message is Hold On The Proofs. Hold On The Proofs. The Bible is full of proofs. How real, how true it is. How true the Bible is. How real the Bible is. And And I will give you some proofs, and that even other people that don't believe in God don't believe in the Bible, but believe in these things. And some of us study this also, maybe in schools, in our school. And I'm going to speak about, hold on the proofs. Let's pray first. Holy Spirit, I ask you of your power. Lord God, help me today, this morning, to encourage your people, to preach to your people, Lord. Give me the words to say. I pray that you will bless this morning, this message. Encourage your people to be a blessing, Lord. I am not worthy, but you are worthy, Lord. Empower me. Help me to speak to your people that how important it is to hold on the proofs that we have. The Bible is true. The Bible is real. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we tend to forget how real the Bible is. And I pray, Lord, that you will guide us and remind us today, this morning, to hold on the proofs and live by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Alright. Men are now trying to prove a lot of things. They're trying to prove that evolution is true. They're trying to prove that we came out from monkeys, yet we cannot see any tail in our backs. Men are trying to prove that the Bible is not real. Men are trying to prove that God is not real. Maybe you know somebody who said they are a Christian but now are an atheist. Or maybe they say they are Christians but are now not living the kind of life that a Christian should live by. Men are trying to confuse us. They will say, oh really? God created the world? Who created God? If God is real, they will say, then a lightning should strike me at this moment. They will do a lot of things just to say that the Bible is not real, that God is not real. But men will be proven to be wrong. This morning, let me encourage you as we go through the proofs. Let me encourage you that the Bible is real and we should hold on to this. Well, there were times that like philosophers like Plato, Aristotle, and their contemporaries are talking about things, and Aristotle said before that heavier objects fall faster. Is that true? What do you think? Heavier objects fall faster than lighter objects. If it's a bowling ball and a feather, what will come first? What? Bowling ball, heavier objects. Raise your hand if you say a bowling ball will come first. Okay. Who can say a feather will come first? Fall down first. Only me? Okay. Who say they will fall at the same time?
Depends.
Okay, now let's say there is no air, it's in a vacuum. Which one will come first? The feather or the bowling ball?
Neither.
Which will come first? Let's say it will fall down at the same time if it's in a vacuum, right? So it depends on it, right? But Aristotle was very, very famous, right? He was a teacher. Aristotle said before that heavier objects fall faster. But he didn't experiment it. Galileo experimented it and dropped a cannonball and a bullet at the top of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Both dropped the ground at the same time. At the same time. A bullet and a cannonball. For 2,000 years, Europeans hold on the wrong idea of Aristotle. When Galileo proved it by experimenting, scientists still hold on to this truth. They are holding fast to this truth no matter what because it was proven. Okay? You know, the evolution theory, they teach in every public school, in every, almost in every textbook in the United States, in all across the world. They say that this natural man, this is where we come from. They found the missing link, but every time they change it, they say that it's wrong, this is the missing link, but proven again wrong, missing link. Why? Because the evolution theory is still just a theory, but they teach it like as if it's real. It's still a theory. Big Bang theory, evolution theory. No proof. Now, even before science, men have been dying for the faith. Men have been dying because they know that the Word of God is real. Andrew, the brother of Peter, preached as far away as Scotland before being crucified. Andrew, the brother of Peter spent 40 years preaching Christ before being thrown in the pit and tortured for 9 months, then crucified upside down at the age of 70. Philip ministered in Asia Minor and died there. He was stoned to death, well fastened to a cross. Imagine that. Thomas founded many churches, including 7 in the country of India. But it was there he was martyred by a barrage of arrows. Jude was martyred with a javelin thrusted to his body. Bartholomew crucified upside down, then flayed open while still alive on the cross. Matthew beheaded for his faith. James sewn to death. Simon, he was sewn asunder for the faith that he would not deny. Matthias spent his life reaching Christ in Syria and Ethiopia before returning to Jerusalem to his death by stoning. James, the brother of John, carried the gospel to Spain, but was later beheaded in Jerusalem. Beheaded. John the Beloved, exiled to the island of Patmos, all alone. Paul, beheaded in AD 67. Countless Christians have been persecuted, even unto death, because they stood for the Bible. They stood for what is right. I can talk for one whole day about Christians. There's a book, even Book of Martyrs, who died for the faith. Why? You know, one researcher. A historian that Catholics believe. Cardinal Hoshus. He was even a cardinal. Cardinal Hoshus says, "Were it not that the Baptists had been grievously tormented and cut off with a knife during the past 1,200 years, they would have sworn in greater number than all of the reformers." Letters of Opera, page 112 and 113. This was a knowledgeable Catholic scholar, but he said that if it were not for the Baptists, were killed, cut off with a knife, they would have sworn in greater numbers than all of the reformers. Why there are not so many Baptists today? Why? Because many people for thousands of years have been killing them, torturing them. There were some torture equipments that they will put a cloth and wet it until it goes inside and kills the person. There were people that, Christians, that they would tie here and here, and there's a horse on the opposite side, another horse on the opposite side, and they will run until their bodies are torn apart. They stood for what is right. But now Christians experience only a little persecution, only experience a little torture. Sometimes the unbeliever wife will say, "Don't go to church. We go to the mall. It's sale." "Oh, it's sale in town. It's a sale in like this." "Oh, there's a new bag in Louis Vuitton." "Honey, please buy me. Your tithe is $3,000. I need the bag. Just buy me the bag. It's so nice." And you're being tortured. You want to give your tithes? What your wife says, "Buy me the Louis Vuitton bag. Buy me the..." Persecution? Torture? Your boss says, Go to work on Sunday. Yes, boss. What if I need to go to church? What if I need to go to church? Then you're fired. Okay, I go to work on Sunday. Persecution. Sometimes very little. Persecution. But these people die for their faith. Die. And not just only die. Tortured. Beheaded. Why? Because they know the Bible is real. They know God is real. They know Jesus Christ died for their sins. They love God so much. Because they know the Bible is real. Let me give you some proof so the Bible is real. The Bible frequently refers to a great number of stars in the heaven. Here are two examples. Let me give you one for the sake of time. Jeremiah chapter 33. 33, verse 22. So number one, our point for God. Revelation of the proofs. Number one point, revelation of the proofs. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 22. As the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that ministered unto me. Even today, scientists admit that they do not know how many stars there are. Only about 3,000 can be seen with the naked eye, which have estimates around 1,021 stars, which a lot of stars. Okay, so before, when they try to count the number of stars, they were very few. Like 3,000, 2,000, 3,000. How can the Bible, that was written around thousands of years ago, 4,000, 3,000, depends on the book, but thousands of years ago, saying in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 22, as the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, near the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David. Let's go Genesis chapter 22. Another proof. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 17. It says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. It tells us that stars are innumerable. When they tried to put the Hubble telescope, we see a lot of stars. But now there's a lot of other telescopes now. We see there's so many stars. The universe is so big. The universe is so big. Very, very big. Just imagine. We are one solar system. Earth, sun, one solar system. And there are a lot of other solar systems. A lot of other asteroids circling around. And we are in the Milky Way galaxy. The galaxy that we are in, they call the Milky Way galaxy. And they say the nearest galaxy is the Andromeda galaxy. Thousands of light years away. Light years away. Or millions of light years away. And they say there are millions of galaxies in the universe. And yet the Bible says, just God meted out the heavens with a span. God measured the entire universe with just a span. Imagine how big it is. How big God is. That's why we have this, oh my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The old Bible also says that each star is unique. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Each star is unique. When you look at the sky at night, you see that they look the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Around 2,000 years ago, when this book was written, it says one star differeth from another. There were no telescopes. There were no very big telescopes. There were no great scientists. There were astrologers, but they were just guessing the stars, trying to figure out the star. But they all looked the same. But one star differed from another. But now we know the stars are the asteroids, the sun, the light of the sun hitting the asteroid and reflecting to Earth. And they're blinking. That's why each star is different in shape and sizes. There's a lot of stars. There's even stars that's bigger than the sun. Betelgeuse. I think 1,900 times. I forgot the exact number. But each stars. The Bible also describes the precision of the movement in the universe. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. 31 verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 5. It says, "Thus the saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roared. The Lord of hosts is His name." Verse 36, "If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Verse 37, "Thus saith the Lord, heaven above can be measured, the foundation of the earth search out beneath. I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord." So who giveth the sun for light of day and ordinance of the moon and the stars? But God gives the sun, the moon in order. Precision of movement. Do you know that if the earth just tilts a little bit, we will have terrible, terrible problems. You know, the earth is acts like this. It moves around. If it moves a little bit, people will die in coldness and in hot, very hot, the heat in other parts. Precision, movement. The Bible describes the suspension of the earth in space. Job chapter 26. Job chapter 26 verse 7. Job chapter 26 verse 7. It says here, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing." Before, they believed that the earth is flat. Now today, some even Christians believe that the earth is flat. Okay, flat earthers. Even some people read the Bible, they use verses to prove that. But here it's very important. We can see the earth hangeth upon nothing. Upon nothing. How can you say that the earth hangs upon nothing? This is the book of Job. It's written 4,000 years ago. 3,600, I think. Almost 4,000 years ago, the book of Job said the earth hang it upon nothing. Because this is the Word of God. It is inspired by God. It came out from the Creator of the universe. He says, earth hang it upon nothing. He knows it. And he made Job write it. It was inspired. Preserved. Because God is the writer. And He knows that the earth hang it upon nothing. You have problems right now? Yes. It's hard. Persecutions, yes, it's hard. But God is more powerful than our pains. God is more powerful than our problems. God is more powerful than our persecutions that we are experiencing. Hold on the proofs. These are the proofs. Hold on to it. When another person says, "Oh, your God is not real," hold on to the proof. Don't believe that. Believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Yes. If you try to share the gospel, they don't want to believe, let them be. Let them be. But don't lose your faith. People say very scientific things. They're trying now to bombard two atoms and have copy the thing that happened in the Big Bang. They're spending billions and billions of dollars just to hit this two atom and make a Big Bang to prove the evolution theory. Billions of taxpayers' money for useless nonsense. Why? Because they're fools. They don't want to believe the Bible, but the Bible is real. Let us hold on to those proofs. Revelation of the proofs. These are the revelations. I have a lot of here. There's even people like ICR, Answers and Yes. There's a lot of, you can see in the website, you can see every detail. You go to ICR. It's very good. ICR.com.org. International Christian, but ICR, you know, I think you know that. Institute of Christian. When you go to that website, there's a lot of details. If you want, I don't have time to go to all those details. But even the Bible is consistent with its statement in with geology. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 37. This is just some of it. Some of it. This is just a glimpse of it. What I'm showing you this morning.
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth a sign for the light. Okay, we already read this, but the Bible, 31, verse 37, sorry. The Bible describes the earth's crust. If the heaven above can be measured, the foundations above the earth, foundation of the earth search out beneath. I will cast off all of the seed of it. So if heaven above can be measured, the foundation of the earth search out beneath. So although some scientists claim that they have now measured the size of the universe, it's interesting to note that every human attempt to drill through the earth's crust to the plastic mantle beneath us has ended in failure. They cannot drill. And in Isaiah it says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. The earth's crust was just discovered in 1937 through seismographic waves. Just recently discovered. But the Bible has been telling that in Isaiah for many years now. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Okay, the circle here in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 22. The circle here came from the Hebrew word chug, which is translated circuit or compass. It's a circle, depending on the context. But that is, it indicates that something spherical, rounded, or arc, not something that is flat or square. Okay, now the book of Isaiah was written sometime between 740 and 680 BC. Imagine that. Thousands and thousands of years. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 9. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 9. This is what I was talking about. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Bible suggests even the presence of nuclear process, like we associate with nuclear weaponry. Now we hear talk about North Korea bombing bombing us with nuclear weapon. Well, the Bible already told us about that. But he didn't mention Kim, okay? Kim Jong-un. Okay, it's not here. Alright? It's not here. It's not a Bible code. The first three letters of this verse and Kim Jong-un. Okay, it's not here. Okay? But, let's go. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. It says here, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Elements shall melt with fervent heat. Melt with fervent heat. Is there... Now, ask you a simple question. Was there a nuclear weapon already during the that verse was written? No. No nuclear weapon. The first atomic bomb, or like similar to this verse, is where? Where was it bombed? Japan. Nagasaki in Hiroshima. Melt with fervent heat. But this was already being described here. The television. You can see CNN in the Bible. No. Revelation chapter 11. Let's go. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. Okay, television or internet. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. How shall and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their bodies in 3.5 days? Imagine the technology they have 2,000 years ago. Do they have? Can they? Is it possible? You ride on horses. You don't have motorbikes or cars. You don't have television. They only watch maybe like something like a theater. Live performances, singing. I think they haven't even invented the toothbrush. But the Bible has already been talking about people, kindreds, towns, and nations shall see their bodies 3 days and a half. Is that possible today? Yes. Internet. If North Korea bombs
Japan or South Korea, you will hear about that at the same hour. Am I right? Right? You will hear news. Now, the President of the United States declared that Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel. Praise the Lord. But you see that now. So instantly. You see the news. So instantly. And this is 3.5 days. It will take some time for people, maybe some of them are in vacation and then we watch, ooh, internet. And they see on Facebook. Facebook now has 2 billion, I think. 2 billion people. In an instant, people can see it around the world. Now, let's go to the prophetic proofs of the Bible. One of the strongest arguments for the accuracy of the Bible is its 100% accuracy in predicting the future. These future predictions are called prophecies. Okay? So the Old Testament was written approximately 1450 BC and 430 BC. So during that time, many predictions of the future were recorded in the Bible by God's prophets. Of that event, of the events that there would have taken place by now, everyone happened. Everything happened just the way that they predicted it would. No other sacred writing has perfectly accurately predicted the future. Okay, for example, the Messianic prophecies. Okay, I don't have time to read all the verses, but all of the things that happened during Jesus Christ, it was predicted in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Okay, so it was predicted all the way until all the things that was predicted was prophesied in Old Testament happened in New Testament. So New Testament was written different time, huh? Was written different time. So what happened during Jesus Christ's time was evidence of the proof that the Bible, the prophetic proofs of the Bible are true. Now, the proof of the people living at the time of Christ. Alright, during the time, okay, everything that has happened, alright, everything that had happened during the time of Christ, nobody even tells that it is wrong. It didn't happen. It's just fairy tales. In fact, maybe you know this or we heard about this. There's a famous historian, okay? He's not a Christian advocate, but he's a historian. He lived around that time when the Bible was written. His name is Flavius Josephus. Maybe you heard about it. In his book, in the Antiquities of the Jews, book 18, chapter 3, paragraph 3, says, Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such Islam. But he mentions the name Jesus, and he told him that he might not be, it would be lawful to call him a man because he thinks that he may be God or a man. He's not sure. So we could see that the time that Jesus came to earth is no fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's a real thing that has happened. And the Bible again proves it. You know, I have even pictures if you could search it, Ron Wyatt. Ron Wyatt, he has searched for the Ark of the Noah's Ark. He was searching for Noah's Ark and he measured, they saw a shape of a, in somewhere in Turkey. They measured it and it was the size of a, the same size that was written in the book of Genesis. So it again proves. I have pictures of it. There's a lot. You know, Joseph built granaries. He built things to store food. It's in the history of Egypt. His name is Imhotep. Joseph. According to Egyptian history, he's the second in command in Egypt that predicted that there will be famines, 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And for the 7 years, he gathered all the food, and after 7 years, it was years of famine. And during the famine, what happened? They have all the food. What is more important, gold or food? Gold. But if you don't have food, you will sell the gold for sure, right? So food is more important than gold if you don't have food, okay? So the price of food went high because all the world was in famine and only Egypt had that store, had so much food. So all around the world, people exchanged gold for food. And this is what made Egypt rich. That's why you could see. The first pyramid, I have a picture, you can search in the website or Google later. The first pyramid that was built was a small pyramid, was by Joseph or Imhotep. It is in Egyptian history. Imhotep made the first pyramid. It was very small, but how to make it? You can see, wow, what an architectural wonder. But it's all from the wisdom of a man of God. And Egypt became very rich. That's why 1,000 years later, if you know King Tut, in 1930-something, he discovered his tomb. It was worth $5 billion worth of gold, only in his tomb. Imagine the amount of gold that they have. During that time, how rich Egypt was. Why? Because of Joseph. He followed God. The whole nation was blessed because he followed God. So, what I'm trying to say, all of this are proofs. Okay? Proofs. Now, people are unsaved. They don't know. Okay? They don't know about this. And there are many people that are not saved. Many people that don't know the true gospel message. Now, number two is the restoration of the patience. Number two, number one is, okay, don't worry. I'll be fast. This long part is the first part. Revelation number two, restoration of the patience. So we need to help people to be restored, to be saved. When we hold on the proofs, they don't believe it at first. They don't believe us, but later, sooner or later, when they see their life, when they see that we live a Christian life, they see us going to church every Sunday, they see us going soul winning, sharing the gospel, they will get saved. Our family, when I was in the Philippines, my father, my sister, me, my mother, every one of us will walk because we don't have a car. We walk, commute, and people see us wearing clothes for church. And there was one lady that had a broken family and was looking at us every Sunday. And when he had a broken family, well, she remarried. She was in Korea, and she got divorced, and she went to Korea and got saved there. When she went to, because she has a new husband, he wants to have a new life. Well, what happened is, I don't recommend having divorce, remarrying, but what happened is, she remembered our family, who always go with a tie, with Bibles in our hands. She remembered that family is a good family because they go to church every Sunday. He said, I want to go to church every Sunday. And she found the church and she got saved. And she went back to the Philippines, God bless her, and she had a gymnasium. I was going there. Her husband and her had a gymnasium. I was there. And you are the guy from Noel Holmes, our home. Yes, you were walking every Sunday. And she told me her story. I got saved because I always see your family going to church every Sunday. My friends, you do not know that even you going to church nicely dressed, going to church on Sunday, it's a good testimony. And you do not know, people might get saved just because of you attending church. What we are doing here is very important. Going to church every Sunday, listening to God's Word, living a life as a Christian. And because of this, patients, people that have problems, people that are sick in sin, living in sin, they may be restored. And number three, the last, the favorite part, ladies will wear your shoes. Okay, well, number three, resonating the power. We need to resonate, when we hold on the proof, we need to share to others. I have this rope. This rope is a symbol of our life. A symbol of our life. What are we planning to do with our life? I hope I get this up.
What are we planning to do with our life?
Oh my, I prepared this.
Alright, what are we planning to do? This rope is a symbol of our life. And there's a white thing here. Okay. There's a white thing. Okay, now, eternal life is so long. Right? How long is eternal life? Infinity. There's no number for it. There's no number that could tell you, calculate how long is life. So, what is the average lifespan of the human being? 50, 60, 70 years, right? So around 70 years, even the Bible says, around 70 years. So that is the average lifespan. Okay, I think Satan is trying to not do something. All right, I already prepared this not to be like this. But anyway, all right, so Satan is doing something. All right, I'm getting lost. Okay. All right, so eternal life. What are we doing right now? Okay, I know you're hungry. You don't want to look at my rope. You look at this as like something, food, spaghetti. Pancit for Filipino. So that's why I choose color blue. I choose a rope color yellow. You might think it's spaghetti. All right, we're done. Okay, now, this is our life. 70 years is just short. I was here 20 years ago. So fast. You can ask the elderly people, how fast is life? So fast. Faster than you think. Okay, so this is our life. 70 years. Now, how long is eternal life? Forever. Okay? More than that. Now, what you do here determines what you do the next life. Eternal life. Even Egyptians built pyramids. Why? Because they're thinking of the afterlife. If you're not thinking of the eternal life, the afterlife, you have a problem. Eternal life. So long. So long. And this is your life. You live a life outside of God's will. Yes. Oh, I'm saved. I can live a life that I want. No problem. Drink here. What's up? You go to the bar. You smoke. You live your life. This is your life. If you live it apart from God's will, yes, you're saved. Yes, hopefully. But not... Imagine what you decide right now. If you're not saved, my friend, I hope you get saved, because you are going to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But if you live your life, yes, life is hard. You live a missionary's life. You live a pastor's life. You're a pastor, wife. Your husband is so cool. You have a very hard life. But you live for God 70 years. And you will be rewarded for eternity. Maybe your mansion is different. Maybe your rewards are different. We do not know. But we will have rewards. Don't be the crazy person that will waste this life. Because this life will determine what you will live for eternity. You will imagine you will be in regret forever and ever and ever. If you didn't win your parents to the Lord that are not saved, if you didn't win your friends that are not saved, if you didn't win your loved ones, your brother, your sister that are not saved, you will regret that forever! Forever! Burning in hell! What you live, hold on the proof. Hold on! Hold on! And you will enjoy your life throughout eternity. Don't waste your life. Hold on the proofs. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father.